Are you looking for a comprehensive and convenient online health fitness training platform? Look no further than Vikido Fitness Academy. With a variety of programs designed to meet your needs, this platform offers everything from weight loss and wellness group coaching programs to an emotional intelligence course. You'll learn what to eat in order to achieve optimal health and energy levels. You'll have access to exercise training, live coaching meetups with myself, Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and other instructors, as well as support and accountability throughout your journey. Whether you prefer to work out at home or at your favorite gym, Vikido Fitness Academy makes it easy to follow along with their programs. So get started on your journey to better health and fitness. Visit vikidofitness.com/VDF Academy.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical health care provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and or treatment.
Today, we talk about foods that you can eat that will help fight your sugar cravings. Research has shown that reaching for healthy foods high in nutrients like protein and fiber can help stave off unhealthy cravings. We will take a look at a full list with scientific reasons these food items may be effective in helping your cravings. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks-Bright. This program is brought to you by Vikido Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicki Doe and D. Banks-Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. D. Banks. So what's going on?
How are you today?
So you doing great?
Yeah, doing good. You know, work never stops. But beyond that, no, everything is good.
Yes.
My heater went out, as I told you the other day, and that wasn't fun. Of course, you know, nothing happens when it's supposed to. Nothing happens when you want it to. Your air conditioner will go out in the middle of the summer. It can't go out in the winter.
That's
it. And your heat will go out on the beginning of the coldest day.
Yes, the beginning of the coldest day is when stuff will happen, right?
Yeah. So it is what it is, as we said.
It is what it is. But we're here today. Yes, we are.
Yes, and yes. We could have had it worse. I guess they got a lot of snow in Cleveland yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
5-6 inches in their driveway.
Oh, that's a lot, right?
That's a lot.
I got to call and see what Andrea doing. She doesn't like to drive and all that kind of stuff.
No, it was very bad in Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are lucky that we are not getting it.
We didn't get hit. No, we didn't get hit that badly.
We didn't get hit. So that's a good thing. Uh-huh. But welcome to about to be winter.
Welcome to winter.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Well, you know, we're here and this is episode 271 and it's the holiday season and we are starting our season of festivities. We already talked about what party we might have to go to, right, Dee?
Yeah. It is the season.
Tis the season. So that's what we're looking at. But, you know, we're going to these celebrations, but we do not need to leave our fitness goals and our healthy eating habits at home and on the back shelf. And so it may get challenging, especially for folks that have a sweet tooth, but there is hope. And today we're going to talk about foods that you can eat that will help you fight off your sugar cravings. Research has shown that reaching for healthy foods high in nutrients like protein and fiber can help stave off unhealthy cravings. And we will look at a full list with the scientific reasons that these items may be effective in helping with cravings. Plus, we will learn more about what may be behind your sugar cravings in the first place. And we will talk about all of this and more on this episode on our show, It's All About Health and fitness, Vicky Doe Fitness. And as per usual, our co-host, Dr. D Banks, will give us the latest on what is happening with COVID, any strands, any vaccines, flu, and now they're talking about salmonella, an outbreak. And so we're going to, as we say, to see, is there anything new that's coming to get us? You know, we gonna see that and see if we need to prepare and to protect ourselves, and she would let us know. So definitely stay tuned, in tune to this episode. And so what do you say about that, Dee?
It seems like since COVID, there's always something coming to get us.
Always something coming to get
us. Just when you think your head is above water, there's something else coming to get us.
Something else coming to get us. And then if you notice, and I know you know, they talking about something in China now with the kids.
No, I hadn't heard that.
That's the latest coming. And we saw it yesterday. And Nate was like, oh boy, here we go. But it's for, it's like a flu, RSV kind of flu something, but for, but it's for the young folks over there in China.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure you're going to be telling us.
They can keep their stuff over there. They, you know, they seriously can keep their diseases over there.
They always got something. Always have something coming. It's terrible. It's terrible.
It is.
I know. But we're going to talk about all this stuff and more on our episode today. And so, yes, Dee, and everyone out there, it's the holidays. It's here. And we have something that can help you on your healthy living journey. You know, I haven't talked about it for a minute. And so some of you, I see that you guys are going to the resource, our resources page on our website, vickidofitness.com/resources. And I want to remind you to make sure you do go to our resources page and check out the tools and products that we know will help you reach your healthy lifestyle goals. It's not too late to gear up. It's not too late to gear up so that you can move out this year, 2023, and into the next on the right track. And so, yes, we are ready. And so, yeah, we want you to move out this year, 2023, and into the next on the right track with the tools that you need. So make sure you go to our resource page because we have a variety of items on our resource list for you to check out and try. We have yogadownload.com. We have Reebok. We have The Right Stuff. That's a medical supplies for the caregivers and for you if you may need some of the things that they have on there. We have Art of Tea, My Lab Box, ecolunchbox.com, Alive Core, that's cardio, that's a where you can check your heart rate. We have that on there and much more. But let's talk about yoga. yogadownload.com. I went on there myself because I've been a member and I said, let me pick something to do that's different and follow. And so, yes, go to Yoga Download. It's download.com. It's the premier online destination for downloading, streaming online yoga. They have meditation classes on there, Pilates, bar, and fitness classes. They've been online since 2009. They offer 1,700 plus classes, and they're taught by professional instructors, including world-renowned yoga teachers in the likes of Anna Forrest. So make sure you go to our resources page, vickidofitness.com/resources, and check out yogadownload.com. You will see all the information on that page about yogadownload.com, and make sure you check it out. They have a lot of sales going on for classes, most especially since people are trying to think about moving out of 2023 and moving into 2024 with some of their fitness goals. So make sure you go. They have quite a few good, awesome sales. And remember, when you use any of our affiliate links on this page, you will be supporting us here at Vicky Doe Fitness. And as always, what do we say, Dee?
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. Yes, I had a good Thanksgiving. What
How was
about
your
you?
Thanksgiving?
It was great. You know, we were down in Columbus. I guess you were too.
Now, were you? I was too, but just for the night. Were you there for the whole weekend?
Yeah, I was there until Sunday.
So, oh, okay.
So we were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Where did you have Thanksgiving dinner?
We had it at Natalie's place.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we had it at Natalie's place. And then the next day I went over and had it at Brother Bill and Mom's place. So we were eating.
Did your mom cook?
Yeah, she cooked. And then, of course, Charles called me like 2 days before talking about, oh, and I want you to cook this and I want you to cook the spinach stew and I want you to cook. I was like, dude, I got to cook two dinners. So that's what I did. I was cooking all weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. But it was wonderful to see everybody,
that's
you know.
Good. How many people were at that for Thanksgiving dinner?
It was at least how many? So about eight of us.
Oh, good. Okay.
It was eight of us. And then the next day.
Did Andrea come down?
No, she couldn't come down because she was working the very next day on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like me. Yeah.
Yeah. So she couldn't come down this time.
I know. 'Tis the season. I was in Columbus, too, visiting some of my relatives down there. We got down there Thanksgiving afternoon, Thursday, I guess, and then had a really nice dinner and then went over to my other cousin's house, who has a really nice apartment in downtown Columbus where you're overlooking the city and
okay.
all the beautiful lights and stuff like that. And we kind of reminisced. And another one of my friends from college, who's her cousin on the other side, we all three of us went to college together.
Okay.
So we were reminiscing and having a good time, hee hawing and laughing. And then I had to get up the next morning. And what I did was to get up really early because I wanted to go to Easton for Black Friday shopping.
Yes.
And that's what I did. Got up, got into Easton about 8 o'clock and shopped and got Olivia a bunch of American Girl stuff.
Yes,
and,
they do have,
you know,
it
just
there.
How you just got to pick a little, you know, just picking stuff out for, and they had some very nice sales. I went to Nordstrom's. They got a Nordstrom's down there and they had some nice sales. I was looking for a birthday gift for a friend because I had to go to a birthday party on Saturday. But Easton was very nice. And by the time I got there, it wasn't too crowded. So I was able to find a place to park. So it's good.
Well, we did shopping, too. We did Polaris, too. Yeah.
Was it crowded?
Oh, it was crowded. It was packed.
Was it?
Yes. It was packed.
Yeah, I haven't been to Polaris in a minute. I always forget about Polaris when I'm down there. Next time I go, I'm going to go to down there at the end of January for the United States Figure Skating Championships.
Yes.
And spend the weekend down there and go to Polaris because I have completely
Yeah, Polaris is great. But that was that, right?
Yeah. And I'm happy to say that I did not pile high and deep.
Yeah.
I didn't bring home a bunch of leftovers of food.
I know.
I remember one of our first broadcasts where we had that plate.
Yes.
We divided the plate. And so I ate what I wanted to eat and that was it.
That was it.
And have a nice day. Yep.
That's it. And so, yes, I did great, too. I like to cook because, you know, when you cook, you don't eat that much.
Right. Exactly.
Because you know what I mean? You just tired of cooking and seeing the food.
Yeah.
So you know how that happens. So I was great because I didn't eat a lot, you know. And so then when I got back home, I was like, dang. I got to cook here, too, because we took all the food down there.
Did you make your spinach soup?
Not yet, because I made too much down there. Yeah, I was.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I made it about three times. That's ridiculous.
Well, Nate was probably happy, because that's his favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, he was happy. He was happy, yeah. That was our Thanksgiving, so I'm glad that you had a great Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah, it was really nice. I had to come back and work on Friday, but I had two nurse practitioners covering me, so all I had to do was to come back in and just kind of co-sign their notes, eyeball the patients, and then that was pretty much it. That really helped me out a lot.
Well, that's great. That is great. Well, Dee, what is going on this week?
Everything. Yes.
Well, you know, we had our friends, Mark Paco and Ron. Ron does a lot of the producing for Valley Spotlight, the TV program that comes on CW on Sundays. And on this particular Sunday, November the 19th, their episode is called Valley Spotlight in the Mahoning Valley with Mike. You know Mike Case and Lauren.
Yeah, Mike Case and Lauren Lindvig. Yeah.
Yes. And so this was episode, they ask us things at our event, at our Healthy Heart, Healthy Living event. And then they use some of our highlight in their episode. Their episode number 140.
Oh, so was this? Did when Mark Pako was interviewing us, did he take this and put this on Valley Spotlight?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So did you see us? Was
yes.
The video?
Yes.
Oh no.
I'll send you the link.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He interviewed us. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I'll send you the link so you can look at it. It's really nice. Yeah. So we were a part of that whole show. I think if you go in, and I'll send you the link, about maybe, I think, 26 minutes. About okay. 26 minutes in, you'll
okay.
see.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll send that to you.
Good.
Yes. And
yes,
so, yeah.
I remember him doing that. Sure.
Yeah. And so it's on YouTube now and it's highlighted and it is their episode 140 and it is their November the 19th show. And they highlighted our event and then we gave some health tips because they asked what health tips should we think about to keep colds away this winter. And you said number one was to wash your hands and then that's cover amazing. Your mouth when you cough and try to limit large gatherings. So you remember saying that?
I just pulled it up. Winter health care tips. Is that what it's under?
It might be. You got to go 25 in.
Okay.
Yeah, 25 in. And you see them talking about this.
You know what, Vicky? Uh-huh. I just pulled it up on YouTube and they give us a whole segment.
Yes, they do. We have a whole segment.
We're part of the program. We're part of a separate segment. Okay.
So they gave us, we are part of the program, but they probably pull it out and gave us another.
They pulled it out on YouTube as a separate segment.
Okay, cool.
And they're highlighting your
event,
health
okay.
and wellness event. Yeah, so if you haven't seen that.
I haven't seen
that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. That's cool.
So good for them.
Good for them. And so, yeah, you talk about washing your hands, covering your mouth when you cough, you know, try to limit large gatherings. I said, you know, make sure you eat plenty of fruits and vegetables and make sure that you move daily and get plenty of sleep. So I thought it was great that they talked about some of the tips because they're saying that when it comes to the kids, this is the highest incident of folks, all these kids in school being sick with the flu and all that since about what, 2015 or maybe higher, maybe the highest. But I know it's a lot of folks, especially the kids.
What was the date of the event?
The Healthy Heart, Healthy Living?
Yeah.
That was in October the 14th.
Okay.
Yep. That was October the 14th. So yeah, they highlighted that they had been there at our event. So that was great. But yeah, we do have to think about these things. Washing your hands. You always talk about that.
Yeah, that's that. I keep telling people they found out that washing your hands was major in 1849, and we're still trying to figure it out. 1849 was when they found out that hand washing worked.
Uh-huh. And we still not washing our hands.
We're still not washing our hands, correct.
So what is wrong with us?
I don't know. We just, you know, I was telling some people the other day, go to a bathroom and stay in the stalls and see how many people wash their hands when they come out of the bathroom.
Wow. Yeah.
They don't, which is why you need to be careful about handling the doorknobs. And then we wonder why people get sick. You know, they found out that on these cruise ships, mm-hmm. part of the problem with people getting that norovirus is that they didn't wash their hands. It's a stool, you know, fecal oral kind of thing. And people were using bathrooms and stuff, using their unwashed hands to flush the toilet, and then they handle doorknobs and go out and not wash their hands. So now you got norovirus all over the ship. So it could have been prevented with just soap and water, not like, you know, or alcohol, mm-hmm. you know, not like C. diff where you have to use soap.
Okay.
Just your Purell or whatever you use, but people don't do it. You know?
I know.
That's the men. You know, you men talk about how you go in there and no water, nowhere except the flushing of the toilet or maybe not even, I don't know how urinals work, but I don't know whether there's flushing there or not. I've really been in there lately.
That's funny. That's funny. I know, right?
And the men's urinal lately, so I don't know what they be doing in there.
What they be doing, I know. But yeah, we got to wash our hands. It's very simple. And cover your mouth when you cough.
Cover your mouth. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things that you and every one of us need to think about as we go through this winter season so that we can at least try to stay away from the colds and things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, our next thing that we want to talk about is the former First Lady, Rosalynn.
Yes.
Carter, Rosalynn Carter. You know what, though? I was surprised that she went first. I thought that the president, Jimmy Carter, would go first.
And he looked very frail, as I was saying to some friends. One friend texted me and said, do you think it was a good idea for him to come? And, you know, I guess that had to be a family decision. Maybe he weighed into it. Because what happens in those situations, he was in hospice. And, I mean, what do you expect from hospice? They don't do anything. You just are there until you pass. They're not trying to pep you up or make you look better or puff you up or whatever. It's just you get what it is. And so what happened was, I found, which was a little distasteful, that when the anchors on television started to talk about the funeral, all they could talk about was how bad he looked.
I know, that's not cool, was it?
And that just wasn't cool at all. I just thought that was so, one guy was like, oh, I was just so shocked at how frail he looked. I hadn't seen him in a year. Well, the man's been in hospice. We know he has cancer and he's 99 years old. What do you want?
I know. That's crazy. But
so they just have to have something to talk about, something to sell stories, something to be sensational. But, you know, I guess he was married to her for 77 years. It could go either way. And plus the fact, the funeral was really for the family, not for y'all.
I know, right?
At the end of the day,
yes.
I don't care how many hundreds of people were in that room or millions watching on television, the funeral wasn't for you.
I know.
You know, it was putting their loved one away, their mother, their grandmother, great-grandmother, auntie, and all of that. You know, people get it twisted.
Yes, they do. And
I remember when my dad used to give the prayer at the table, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so he would be blessing at the table.
Yes.
And he would talk really low. And my mother was like, I can't hear you. We can't hear you. My father would say, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Lord.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Lord.
Okay, then. You know. Well, there it is, right?
There it is. You know,
but yeah, they have, it was a long spiel about her. And the first thing that I remember, too, and we don't mention is until now that she was really into the mental health advocate.
I did not realize that. You know,
yes. Back in the day.
Those 4 years mm-hmm. of his presidency and the 4 years before that, for about 8 years, mm-hmm. life was kind of a blur for us because I was in medicine.
Okay.
And you were on call. And especially 1977 to 81, I was pregnant with my first child, doing my residency. I mean, my fellowship in infectious diseases. And you know how that is, having been around the residents and all of that.
It's a killer.
I didn't realize how much into mental health she was. But she, let's go over a little bit about what they said about her. She was a lifelong advocate for women's rights, human rights, and mental health. She died last November the 19th in Plains, where they never left.
Yeah,
she was 96 and he was 99, and they have been married for 77 years. Can you believe it?
That's a long time.
She was 18. Mm. And he was 22, making them the longest married couple in history. Just 2 days before her death, the Carter family announced that she had entered hospice at home. And roughly 6 months ago, her family released a statement sharing that she had been diagnosed with dementia. She's survived by her husband, 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and 14 great-grandchildren. And the couple had 4 children together and eventually moved to Plains, where Jimmy Carter became involved in local politics,
mm-hmm.
first serving as a state senator and then governor. And this time also marked the beginning of Mrs. Carter's interest in advocacy for mental health. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
As she served on the Governor's Commission to improve services to the mentally and emotionally handicapped, and volunteered to work with patients and families at the state mental Hospital, per the Washington Post. Carter advocated for women's rights and mental health during her time at the White House. She served alongside her husband during his presidency from 77 to 81. I mean, all I remember is the peanut farmer.
Yes.
And all I remember is his crazy brother.
Yes.
He had a crazy brother that, remember the crazy brother?
He did? Oh, yeah.
That would come up to the White House.
Yes.
His crazy brother, yeah. Mm. And so during his tenure, she and the president supported Equal Rights Amendment, and Mrs. Carter encouraged women to work outside the home. She lobbied the Pentagon to hire more women as White House honor guards, according to the University of Virginia Miller Center. Mm. She was the first presidential spouse to establish official office of the First Lady in the East Wing of the White House in 1977, and the first to hire a chief of staff with a rank and salary commensurate with that of other White House personnel. Mm. She continued to push for more resources, support, and understanding for people with mental health issues as the active honorary chair of the President's Commission on Mental Health during her time in the White House. She helped bring about passage of the landmark Mental Health Systems Act of 1980, which provided grants to community mental health centers and social support systems. And Vicki, this is what is gone. Mm-hmm. Those resources, I believe, have dissipated, because if they were still there, we'd still be hearing about it. And we
I know, right?
And then she left the White House. And it's kind of interesting. People talk about Jimmy Carter. His after presidency was way more impressive and important than during his presidency.
I know.
Because after his presidency, he wrote about 20 books. Mm-hmm. They built all those Habitat for Humanity houses. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
Traveled all over the world. Mm-hmm. And she founded, after the White House, the Carter Center, a nonprofit with the mission of improving the quality of life for people in the United States and in developing nations around the world. Through the center and on her own, Rosalind continued to advocate for mental health. She founded or held leadership in the Rosalind Carter Symposium, the Carter Center Mental Health Task Force, and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. In 1987, Rosalind Carter Institute for Caregivers was established to promote the health, strength, and resilience of all caregivers at every stage of their journey. There are only four kinds of people in the world, Carter liked to say. Those who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need caregivers. In 1991, in response to a U.S. measles epidemic that caused 55,000 illnesses, 11,000 hospitalizations, and 120 deaths, Carter co-founded the Every Child by Two program, designed to encourage people to vaccinate their children against preventable diseases. And in 1999, the Carters were both awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, America's highest civilian honor. And they talked about how she devoted her time, although she devoted her time to a variety of human rights issues, it's her legacy of over 50 years of mental health activism that has forever changed the way mental illness is viewed and treated. Her work will continue to inspire others to work towards a world where mental health is treated with the same level of importance and respect as physical health. What a legacy.
I know.
What
so rest in peace, Rosalind Carter. And we hope.
Rest in peace.
We hope. We don't know. We hope things, will be better for Jimmy Carter. But yeah, what do you expect for a man?
Often, and we talk about this all the time, how when what they were talking about it on the radio this morning about how, or television, mm-hmm. you know, it's often when one spouse dies,
yeah.
the other one comes along quickly, that they've been together almost all their life. Certainly all their adult life, 18 and 22 years old.
I know.
That's a lot of water under the bridge.
Yes, it is. Wow.
You know, our prayers go out to him, and certainly his family is taking good care of him.
Yes, it is. And so there is a time, what they say, there's always a time where we have to, you know, meet our maker, as they say.
Yeah, yeah, there is. I mean, my father used to, again, quoting my father, we gonna all have to get out here with something.
Right.
Nobody has lived forever.
Nobody has lived forever.
You're not going to live forever. I mean, and if everybody's going to get out of here with something.
If they have lived forever, I ain't trying to see them.
I don't want to see them either. I don't want to see them either. No.
I do not want to see them. But yes, I know. Well, Dee, what's the latest? You know, we got the salmonella. Yeah.
I just want to talk about how, and just as I was coming home this afternoon, I just read about another outbreak, which I'll just mention in a sense when I end with this. So a multi-state outbreak of salmonella illness is linked to whole and diced cantaloupe has more than doubled in just 1 week to 99 cases, has hospitalized at least 45 Americans, and has killed two people in Minnesota, the CDC said. The outbreak has affected at least 63 Canadians, killing one, according to the Canadian authorities. Since the CDC first announced the outbreak on November the 17th, officials have confirmed an additional 56 cases for a total of 99 infections in 32 states. Minnesota has recorded the most, 13, followed by Missouri, 9, Ohio and Wisconsin,
oh, wow,
8 each, Arizona, 7. Minnesota has confirmed the only two deaths. An additional 28 people have been reported hospitalized for a total of 45 hospitalized patients. Illness onset dates range from October 17th to November the 10th. The true number of sick people in this outbreak is likely much higher. Mm. Interviews with sick people and lab findings continue to show that cantaloupes are making people in this outbreak sick, said the CDC. The true number of sick people in this outbreak is likely much higher than the number reported, and the outbreak may not be limited to states with known illnesses. This is because many people recover without medical care and are not tested. In addition, recent illnesses may not yet be reported, as it usually takes 3 to 4 weeks to determine if a person is really sick with it. So I'll just quickly just mention the rest of it about there's a wide range of recalled fruit. And I think we've talked about this on the show before,
uh-huh,
that my stance is that they don't have the people in the agricultural offices that need to do all the checking of food, the mm-hmm. food supply,
mm-hmm.
the food supply, the things are falling through the cracks because they don't have personnel.
Mm. They don't
have the manpower.
Yeah, because they got rid of them, right?
Didn't they get rid of them? Exactly. They got rid of them.
Okay.
So the FDA had previously posted recall notices for Vineyard and Aldi cantaloupe related to the outbreak. Last week, it added several new recalls. The CDC said whole cantaloupes involved in the recalls might have a sticker that reads Malakita or Ruby with the number 4050. Well, people can read all of that. The Vineyard recall includes cantaloupe cubes, melon medleys, which I buy a lot, fruit medleys.
Okay, wow.
Sold in Oklahoma stores. So basically, until this is all cleaned up, I would probably, and of course, you know, a lot of these grocery stores are on top of it, and they've already pretty much yanked the stuff off the shelves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but I would probably put cantaloupes somewhere on a back burner about right now until they try to clear this up. But they're losing people that were out there working on these, you know, and it's the same thing for, there's a listeria outbreak now for peaches and nectarines.
Oh, wow.
That just came across the press today. So here you got listeria. So we're not these fruits that are coming in, and I don't want to cast aspersions, but more than likely coming in from other countries are not being inspected as properly as they should, is what I'm trying to say.
I know. So, yeah. So we have to be
vigilant.
We just got to be on point on what's going into our mouths.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, you try to do the healthy thing with eating fruits and vegetables, as we talk about here, but they coming to get us.
So after a while,
Vicky, they're coming to get us.
Look, after a while, we just have to eat an empty plate.
No, some pita bread or something.
Yeah, we can't eat nothing.
No, nothing.
Nothing. Yes, indeed. Mm. But we'll pay attention to that. And then...
Yeah, I'll try to stay on top of it because this is important. I love cantaloupe.
I know.
And I'll buy it in a medley or a fruit, something like that. So we just have to stay on. I'll try to keep everybody abreast of what's going on.
All right. Well, you got the new COVID variant.
Briefly talk about that. New COVID variant takes hold in the United States. So just when we thought it was safe to come out the water, it ain't. The numbers, I stopped using the word uptick. The numbers are increasing. And in that hospital now, we're going up and down the hallway doing testing for people that have a cough, and they're popping up positive with COVID. We probably have about, well, last week we had 24. I think this week we have 22, but in one hospital, the number has gone up in another hospital. But what is a little more alarming is that we have our first RSV in an adult in the hospital. So I will keep everybody abreast on that, because that means that, you know, we might have to talk about the vaccine. Oh, so anyway, the prevalence of a highly mutated COVID variant has tripled in the past 2 weeks. And this was just from yesterday. New government data shows now nearly 1 in 10 new COVID cases are fueled by the BA286 variant. The U.S. Center for Disease Control reported Monday, this past Monday. The variant is spreading the fastest in the Northeast. Just over 13% of cases in New York and New Jersey region are blamed for BA286. Scientists first warned of the highly mutated variant back in August, but it has since spread in several regions in the United States. Until now, the vast majority of new COVID cases have been blamed on the XBB variant and several of their descendants, AGV1 and EG5. But that may soon change. The CDC's estimates carry wide margins of error around BA286's prevalence, but the latest estimate is triple what it was on November the 11th. So, like I said, I don't use the word uptick anymore. It's increasing. Mm. Still, it's important to note that early projections tend to be less reliable, since they depend on examining growth trends of a smaller number of sequences, especially as lab-based testing volume for SARS-CoV-2 has decreased over time. And then we don't really know the prevalence, because a lot of people are just taking COVID tests at home.
I know, right? No,
they don't report to anybody.
No, they don't.
They don't report to anybody. So far, preliminary data on the variant suggests it does not trigger more severe illness than previous variants, the World Health Organization said in a recent risk evaluation. But the international agency, WHO, still noted a recent and substantial rise. Like I said, no uptick, rise. CDC has also reported that BA286 variant poses a low public health risk. CDC data released Monday did show that emergency department visits linked to COVID have begun to climb. Told you. One particular descendant of BA286 might be driving the increase, experts say. In recent weeks, scientists have been studying a steep increase in a BA286 descendant call. We're going to run out of numbers and letters. We already ran out of the Greek alphabet. You can't say alpha, beta. So now the descendant of BA286 is JN1, which has become the fastest growing subvariant. The good news, current JN1 is the most common version of BA286 in the United States. And the CDC projects BA286 and its offshoots like JN1 will continue to increase as proportion of SARS-CoV-2 genomic sequences. The good news is this season's vaccines are expected to work against JN1 as they do BA286, the agency. And I'm still encouraging people, please go get your COVID vaccine. Oh, I'm gonna get COVID anyway. That's not the point. It won't be that bad. Plus the fact, if you take your COVID vaccine, you might not get COVID, because as I continue to say on this show, we worry about long COVID and what long COVID is going to be doing to those of us in the population. So go get your vaccine.
That's it. Well, thank you, Dee. You know, you are
so welcome.
You always got to hook us up on what's coming to get us.
Yeah,
I think all the stuff is, they're busy now. They got all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, you know, here's the other thing too, is that, Vicki, we're coming back into our homes now.
Okay.
It's getting cold, and people are, instead of being outside, people are in close proximity to each other.
Okay.
So that's part of the problem as well.
And then they're spreading stuff, right?
And they're spread. By the way, are you still buying Lysol?
Oh, yes. I've been done pulled that out. I've been done pulled that out. Let me tell you. So I have all kinds of smell goods in my house. And Lysol.
Oh, that's funny.
That's it. So we shall see what's going to go. But at least we got a vaccine now. So
yeah, we do have a vaccine.
I'm going to make sure.
We have the vaccine. I encourage people to take advantage of it.
Yes, I'm going to make sure that I go in and do what I need to do too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the weather is getting, you know, people are coming in close proximity. I opened up the elevator today and there were about 10 people on there. So you don't know what you're up against now.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So there it is. But thank you, Dee, for,
welcome.
Hooking us up on what we need to know.
You are welcome.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Vicki Haywood-Doe. I just wanted to break in for a quick second and introduce to you the sponsor and creator of this show. It's the company I own, Haywood-Doe Consulting Co., doing business as Vicki Doe Fitness. We are a health and wellness consulting company that specializes in designing and implementing medically integrated applied exercise physiology-based fitness wellness programs, initiatives, events, health promotion, and health education for special populations such as older folks, children, adolescents, overweight and obese individuals, women's health, and those who have chronic diseases. We have a team and network of healthcare professionals based out of Northeast Ohio, and we've worked with many companies, schools, churches, and organizations. If your goal is to transform your life by taking a holistic approach to living a life of health and total well-being, get in touch with us at info@vickidofitness.com. To find out more about our own site and online programs and services, go to vickidofitness.com. And now back to the show.
Well, today we focus on what foods are best in helping us to fight off our sugar cravings. And research has shown that sugar is not really good for us, and it can cause inflammation in our bodies and can put us at risk for certain health conditions such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and weight problems. And so there are certain foods, though, that we can hone in on that are rich in nutrients such as protein and fiber that are not only good for us, but helps us to stave off unhealthy cravings. And so today we're going to just look at an article that really talks about this. It's 20 foods that can help fight sugar cravings, and it's in Everyday Health. Well, it says Squinch Inner Sugar Monster by reaching for these better for you eats. And so they're sharing with us. It says if you usually have a hankering for something sweet, you know, after meals, you find it hard to pass up dessert, or you rely on sugar-filled coffee drinks for an afternoon pick-me-up, you're not alone. A study found that 86% of people who have had food cravings thought about high-calorie foods, especially those containing chocolate. Now, the good news is that reaching for healthy foods high in nutrients like protein and fiber can help stave off unhealthy hankerings. Now, here are some of the foods that can help keep cravings for sugar at bay, and we'll talk more about them in this article, but it lists them. It says berries, avocados, nuts, we got pistachios, we got seeds such as sesame and chia, we got pulses such as beans, lentils, and chickpeas. And so we have a full list with the scientific reasons that these foods may be effective, plus we'll be able to learn more about what may be behind your sugar cravings in the first place. And so they start out and say side effects of eating too much sugar. While sugar may be satisfying to the taste buds and the soul, the constant spikes in blood sugar and crashes that follow a binge can set off a host of effects, including fatigue, irritability, and anxious thoughts, among others, according to Sanford Health. Blood sugar highs and lows can also perpetuate sugar cravings. When you're consuming sugar, then you end up getting onto this roller coaster, this whole roller coaster ride of blood sugar dysregulation, and that in of itself can perpetuate physical stress, which can then cause you to have more sugar cravings. And this was said by Dana Ila, who's a registered dietitian, a doctor of clinical nutrition and owner of Fusion Integrative Health and Wellness in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Added sugar, which Americans tend to eat too much of, can be particularly insidious for health. According to a 2016 study, consuming too much can increase the risk of obesity, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, cognitive decline, and certain types of cancer. The 2020-2025 U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans recommends limiting added sugar intake to a maximum of 10% of your daily calories. This is the equivalent of 200 calories or 12 teaspoons if you're eating 2,000 calories per day. One can of Coke contains almost 10 teaspoons of sugar.
I still am amazed at people that still drink the old Coca-Cola.
Yeah, but then they be honing in on the Diet Coke, which has those artificial sweeteners,
right,
which are not right. that great in itself right. either.
So, which factors are causing you to crave sugar? Sugar cravings can strike seemingly at random, and more than one culprit may be responsible. Here are some of the potential causes. Dehydration. Thirst can often look like hunger or food craving, Dr. Elias says. Indeed, researchers found that people responded inappropriately to hunger and thirst cues 62% of the time. For example, they were thirsty, not hungry, but ate anyway. Poor diet quality. Diet quality can also play a role in triggering sugar cravings. For example, consuming a higher ratio of carbohydrates to protein and healthy fats, or consuming white refined carbohydrates like those in processed foods, can increase hunger and sugar cravings, according to Elia. If you're craving something else within 90 minutes or 2 hours after a meal, you want to revisit, what did you just eat and what was it missing, she says. Mm. Gut dysbiosis, which is an imbalance of the microbes in the gut, or an overgrowth of yeast, for example, can lead to sugar cravings, according to one article. An earlier study suggested that probiotics, prebiotics, and improving eating habits can alter the balance of good and bad bacteria in the gut and lessen food cravings, though more studies are needed. If you're eating highly processed carbohydrates, standard American poor quality proteins, and a lot of saturated processed poor quality fats, that's going to have some pretty devastating effects on the diversity and the healthiness of the amount of beneficial bacteria in your gut, which can really drive some sugar cravings, Elias said. Hormonal changes. Cravings for sugar can be in part a result of hormones, including estrogen, progesterone, or estradiol. Per the Endocrine Society, estradiol levels increase during the menstrual cycle to mature and release an egg and thicken the uterus lining to allow the fertilized egg to implant. Research has found that estradiol can be associated with an increase in food cravings. A study published in the FASEB journal, I'm not sure what that stands for, found that women with higher estradiol during the luteal phase of their menstrual cycle or the time after ovulation consumed carbohydrate-rich foods and had an increase in sugar cravings. That's why you'll hear women come to report that they suddenly have this intake or this uptake of a craving for chocolate during their menstrual cycle, Elias said. What about stress? Mm. Finally, stress is another cause of sugar cravings. A study found that chronic stress had a significant direct effect on food cravings, and food cravings in turn had a significant effect on body mass index, BMI, when indulged. When levels of cortisol, the so-called stress hormone, increase, consuming sugar can provide a hit of dopamine, a neurotransmitter often dubbed the happy hormone. Yet, as Elia previously explained, when consumed in excess, sugar can throw blood sugar out of whack, increasing stress and setting off a vicious cycle. Nutrient deficiencies. Deficiencies in certain minerals, such as zinc, chromium, iron, calcium, and magnesium may lead to sugar cravings as well, Elias says. Magnesium deficiency is specifically worth paying attention to, according to one study. Up to 50% of people may have a magnesium deficiency, which other prior research in elderly people links to an increased risk of insomnia. Meanwhile, an article published in Nutrients noted that magnesium deficiency is associated with increased stress, anxiety, and depression, and mental health effects that can in turn impede quality slumber. Without adequate quality sleep, we're more likely to eat more calories and crave quick energy in the form of simple sugar, said Aaron Polinsky-Wade, registered dietitian, a nutrition and diabetes expert based in Franklin, New Jersey. Another reason magnesium deficiency can drive sugar cravings is that the mineral helps convert food into energy, Polinsky-Wade said. So anything that's leaving you feeling more lethargic and fatigued, naturally your body craves those quick energy sources, which tend to be those sugary foods. So now we're into what are the foods?
So the foods that can help prevent cravings for sugar. Don't let cravings for sugar stand in the way of your health goals. And so this is the list of 20 foods that will help to satisfy your hunger and to regulate your blood sugar and help keep sugar cravings at bay. And I'll start out with the first one. The first one are berries. Number one, berries. Blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, and raspberries are some of the best foods to consume when you're having sugar cravings. Because they're a low glycemic fruits, they provide plenty of sweetness without spiking blood sugar, Elias says. Berries also have a high water content and a good source of fiber, which helps you to feel fuller, longer, balanced blood sugar, and improves insulin sensitivity, Polinsky-Wade says. For example, a cup of raw raspberries provides 8 grams of fiber per the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That makes them an excellent source of the nutrient.
Avocados, according to the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, one avocado offers about 9 grams of fiber, as well as healthy monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, making it one of the best foods to fight sugar cravings. A study published in Nutrients suggested that replacing refined carbohydrates, in this case a bagel, with avocado in meals helps suppress hunger, increase meal satisfaction, and limit insulin and blood sugar spikes. In this case, it also reduced the risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease in adults with obesity or who are overweight. When you feel satisfied and your blood sugar and insulin are regulated, you won't be as likely to experience sugar cravings, said Polinsky-Wade. Add avocado to salads, smoothies, and Southwestern dishes, or combine avocado with cacao and a bit of maple syrup for a creamy, delicious pudding without all the added sugars that store-bought types have.
All right. Number three, pistachios. Thanks for the combination of protein, fiber, and healthy fats. All types of nuts are great choices to curb your sugar cravings. A study published in 2020 found eating pistachios was associated with a decrease in consumption of sweets, as well as weight loss in adults with obesity or who were overweight. I find when clients use pistachios as a snack, they tend to slow down with eating, so they're feeling more satisfied, but also because they're eating more intentionally and more mindfully. That seems to be a big number on curbing cravings as well. And this was said by Polinsky-Wade.
Sesame seeds. Seeds such as sesame seeds have healthy monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, as well as fiber, which combat sugar cravings, according to the USDA. 1 tablespoon of whole toasted or roasted sesame seeds offers nearly 1.1 gram of fiber. If you're eating the seeds, you've got that nice little crunch, pop sensation going on in your mouth, bringing another layer to the enjoyment of your meal or your snack, Elias says.
Number five, chia seeds. You know,
I always think of chia.
Chia. That was a commercial, right?
That was that little thing that you pour water on and the plants
would come up, right?
And the plants would come out, right.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the chia seeds, well, they might be tiny, but their nutritional profile makes them a powerhouse for curbing sugar cravings. For one, they offer more than 4 grams of protein and nearly 10 grams of fiber in 1 ounce, according to the USDA. They're also the richest plant source of omega-3 fatty acids, according to the Harvard T.H. Chang School of Public Health. What's more, a study found consuming chia seeds with yogurt increased satiety and reduced cravings for sugary foods. A delicious way to consume chia seeds is to make pudding by combining 3 tablespoons with 1 cup of plant base or cow's milk and letting it sit overnight. Then you add cinnamon or your favorite spices, chia seed. I'm about to say chia. Chia seed puddings are a way to get a nice dessert type snack, but without the sugar and the calories that come with it, Elias says.
Quinoa,
yes.
Quinoa, fun fact. Quinoa often falls under the whole grains category, but it's actually a seed that's rich in antioxidants and is naturally gluten-free, according to the United States Department of Agriculture, with more than 8 grams of protein and more than 5 grams of fiber in 1 cooked cup. Quinoa is also a good go-to sugar fighter. Serve quinoa as a side dish, add it to salads and soups, or serve it for breakfast with fruit, nuts or seeds, and a sprinkle of cinnamon.
Number 7, oats.
I love my oatmeal.
Yes, oats are a good source of soluble fiber that the Harvard T.H. Chang School of Public Health notes helps stave off hunger and can help lower glucose levels and curb sugar cravings. Avoid the instant oatmeal packets, which are highly processed and high in added sugars, and stick with raw, old-fashioned oats or steel cut oats instead. If you add some nuts or seeds to your bowl of oatmeal, that's also going to give you a well-rounded feeling meal, but without having the carbohydrate spike that other breakfast cereals would have. Elias says.
Beans and lentils. With plant-based protein and filling fiber, turn to beans and lentils. Those characteristics make these foods smart choices to help keep your blood sugar steady and fend off sugar cravings. A small study of healthy adults published in the Journal of Nutrition found replacing a half serving of rice with lentils and replacing potatoes with lentils caused a 20% and 35% reduction in post-meal blood glucose, respectively. Add beans to soups and stews or make homemade plant-based burgers.
Number 9, hummus. Like lentils, chickpeas are in a food group called pulses. Peas are also in the club. Ground with tahini and some olive oil, they make hummus, a versatile and sugar-fighting spread. Swap it in for mayonnaise in a salad. Pair it with whole grain pita chips or use it as a dip with celery sticks. According to the USDA, a half a cup of hummus has about 10 grams of protein, 7 grams of fiber, making it an excellent source of each, and healthy monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats.
I do like to say when I'm telling people about hummus or eating hummus, just beware that it does have a relatively higher fat content because of that olive oil. Coconut oil. Now, my friend from Ghana,
yes,
that I go and visit in London, always has me to go to Trader Joe's.
Yes.
And get the coconut oil because she uses it on everything, hair and everything else, and food and everything.
Yes.
And
yes,
so she's always told me about the benefits of coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
Like other types of fats, coconut oil is digested slowly, which can help increase satiety, slow down how other foods are converted into sugar in the bloodstream, and balance blood sugar, which combats sugar cravings Polinsky Wade says. Keep in mind that coconut oil is digested slowly, which can help increase satiety, slow down how other foods are converted into sugar in the bloodstream, and balance blood sugar, which combats sugar cravings, Polinsky Wade says. Keep in mind that coconut oil is a saturated fat, so be mindful of enjoying it in moderation. American Heart Association recommends limiting saturated fat, replacing it with polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats like those found in olive oil, nuts, and seeds. While choosing olive oil, opt for cold-pressed, extra virgin coconut oil, Elias suggests. This type of coconut oil may retain more of its nutrients than coconut oil that is not cold-pressed, according to the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health.
All right. Number 11, olives and olive oil. The healthy monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats found in olives and olive oil can help you to feel fuller, longer, and curb sugar cravings. A meta-analysis published in PLOS Medicine found that swapping more unsaturated fats for carbohydrates or saturated fat can reduce blood sugar and improve insulin resistance.
Non-starchy vegetables. Here's another reason to veg out. Non-starchy, low glycemic vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, zucchini, spaghetti squash, Brussels sprouts, and cabbage have filling fiber to keep hunger at bay, and they are digested slowly to prevent blood sugar spikes and curb sugar cravings. A study examined supplements containing phytalkoids, which are compounds found in all green leafy vegetables, and found that they increased satiety and reduced hunger and sugar cravings. Studies on the role these compounds play when eaten in whole foods are lacking, but the fiber in green veggies alone is enough reason to reach for them. For example, in the USDA notes, one cup of boiled chopped broccoli offers more than 5 grams of fiber, making it a good source. If you prefer a sweet, savory flavor without added sugars, roast your veggies or cook them in balsamic vinegar.
Number 13, sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are a great source of vitamins and minerals. One cooked medium sweet potato with the skin has nearly 4 grams of fiber per the USDA, making this another good source. Fiber helps stave off hunger and offset insulin spikes, Elias says. Roast them, bake them, or make sweet potato fries in the air fryer. But be sure to eat the skin, which is rich in nutrients, including fiber.
Greek yogurt. I would have to say that is my go-to food in the morning. The low calorie, very low calorie, low fat, low carb Greek yogurt. And I've noticed that it really helps my GI tract. I use a lot of times, I won't get the flavored. I'll get the plain and treat myself every now and then to the flavored ones. Getting enough protein at every meal can help reduce cravings for sugar because carbohydrates are the easiest macronutrients for the body to break down, and they break down quickly. Protein and fat will hold you over until your next meal, Elias says. Study found that higher intakes of protein were associated with fullness. And a different small study found that overweight men who increased the amount of protein in their diet to 25% of their total calories felt fuller throughout the day and had fewer food cravings. According to the USDA, a 7-ounce serving of Greek yogurt provides nearly 20 grams of protein, and that makes it an excellent food to fight sugar cravings, Polinsky Wade notes. Choose plain Greek yogurt varieties, which don't have added sugars and artificial sweeteners, as these can drive sugar cravings and negatively affect the gut microbiome, Elias says. Add berries. I do that. I add berries on top of it. Raspberries, blueberries are my go-to. Blackberries. Add berries for fiber and a hint of sweetness, and I put some cinnamon in it, or other mixed in like nuts and seeds, a nut butter, cinnamon, and a vanilla extract. I forgot all about vanilla extract. Or use the yogurt to make a sugar-free frosting or in place of sour cream.
Number 15, meat, poultry, and fish. Not a fan of yogurt? Other animal-based protein can help you get your protein fix. For high-quality fat and protein, opt for wild-caught or cold-water fish and organic, pasture-raised, grass-fed poultry and meat, Elia recommends.
Eggs are also packed with sugar-fighting protein. One large egg has more than 6 grams, notes the USDA, as well as 13 essential vitamins and minerals, because eggs are also a source of saturated fat, though eat them in moderation. And they didn't mention this into those of you that are having cholesterol issues. You might want to cut back a little bit and maybe egg whites.
Yes.
Which I use a lot of egg whites when I cook or make an egg white omelet.
All right. Number 17, cheese. The combination of protein and fat in cheese can help curb a sweet tooth, but keep in mind, cheese is also high in calories, saturated fat, and sodium, Elias says. Just 1 ounce of part skim mozzarella cheese delivers 7 grams of protein and 4.5 grams of fat, according to the USDA.
Dr. Joe, the next one is, now you might want to try this, but I'm not so sure that I will. Have you ever heard of this? So it's called spirulina?
Spirulina.
Spirulina? Yeah. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
As Harvard Health Publishing points out, spirulina is a blue-green algae that is a good source of protein. There are more than 4 grams per tablespoon, according to the USDA, and it's rich in vitamins and minerals that can address nutritional deficiencies and combat sugar cravings, Elias says. Mm-hmm. Spirulina is also a good source of tyrosine, an amino acid that's necessary for the production of neurotransmitters, including epinephrine, norepinephrine, and dopamine, notes Mount Sinai. Consuming it may boost those chemicals and in turn reduce sugar cravings. Because spirulina can be an acquired taste, adding it to a smoothie can be a healthy and delicious way to get into your diet.
Yes, and that's what most people do. They put it in their smoothie. On the...
I don't think so.
Let me chomp on some.
I don't think so.
Nope. But hey, we put it out there, all right? Well, number 19, dark chocolate. All right, this is something. Dark chocolate. If you're craving chocolate, opt for an ounce of dark chocolate, which has antioxidants and polyphenols that can curb sugar cravings, Elias says. Dark chocolate has less added sugar than milk chocolate, but when consumed in moderation, it can still help satisfy your sweet tooth and give you a boost of dopamine and serotonin without driving spikes in blood sugar, Elias says. Plus, because dark chocolate is a good source of magnesium, per the USDA, it can help address a deficiency that may be driving sugar cravings. Aim for 1 square. That's 1 ounce of dark chocolate that is composed of at least 70% of cocoa to maximize the possible perks.
Trying to quit candy cold turkey? Medjool dates are a smart swap, Elias says. They're high in potassium, polyphenols, and fiber. Two pitted dates have about 3.2 grams of fiber, specifically according to the USDA. You can eat them whole or puree them and use them as a sugar substitute in baking recipes. What's nice there is that now you can get the same amount of sweetness, but it's the natural sugar, so it's bound with the fiber and the nutrients. And that tends to give you that sweet end product, like a cookie without driving more craving. I would say about this, though, be a little careful with dates because they are more sweet, right?
Yes, they are.
They do have quite a bit of sugar in them. So if you use them, you really need to use them in moderation, right, Vicky?
Big time, because they can be sticky and stuff. And that's why.
Exactly.
And that's why with the, you know how they do the dried fruits and stuff? Even with that, you just have to be careful with the dried fruits and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that because of the stickiness and the sugar. It's a little bit more sweet. These are 20 foods that
these
you
are really
can
good.
Think about.
Really good.
And most of these foods that they're really saying, the registered dietitian and other folks are saying, if you notice, the common denominator is protein and fiber. And then also the good nutrient dense food, because if you stick with that along with your food, when you choose your food, it will keep you from having these cravings, and it'll fill you up, right?
Yeah.
And
definitely.
We should think about this even more so now, because we're gonna definitely be tempted because this is that season, the end holidays. Of the season and holidays, where they're going to have plenty of sugar stuff out there for us to eat.
I'm going to definitely save this article to one of my files to come back as a go-to to refresh my memory on what these 2020 foods are. This is excellent.
Yes, it is. Well, Dee, you know, this ends our show. So what do you have tips for us today?
Well, I just want a couple things. I just want to remind people that the word is not upticking anymore with COVID. It is rising. So be careful, mask up, wash your hands, be very careful. I think I would put the cantaloupes right now on a little bit of a back burner. I'm sure, like I said, they've yanked them out of the grocery stores and places, but just need to be vigilant with these foods these days, because unless you can grow your own food, you don't know what you're eating. And then, as we talked about, I won't mention them all, but go over some of them, the foods that can help fight sugar cravings. Among them, berries, avocados, nuts, seeds, including sesame and chia, beans, lentils, chickpeas, that hummus, that food that olives and olive oil, that food that I mentioned, spirulina, sweet potatoes, which I love. In fact, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to go up to the grocery store. My mother used to cook sweet potatoes in the hot coal stove at my grandmother's house and eat them like that.
I got some too tonight. I think I'm going to pull them out and put them in the oven.
I'm going to go up and get some and make them. And then Greek yogurt. And then, of course, meat, poultry, and fish, and eggs, and watch the cholesterol with that. And lastly, dark chocolate and medjool dates. Mm-hmm. So these are all, and some of the foods that I didn't really even know could do that. So it was a great learning experience today.
Yes, to think about all the foods. And that is why I always say this here at Vicky Doe Fitness, we like to concentrate on the foods that you can eat.
And exactly.
If you notice, it's quite a few foods that you can eat.
Yes, absolutely.
So eating healthy is great. It's not just a plate now.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yes, indeed. And as always, for more information, go to our website, VickyDoeFitness.com. And remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us, go on Facebook, and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicky Doe is owner of Vicky Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicky by email at info@VickyDoeFitness.com.